Hebrews chapter 10, if you want to turn there and read a few verses at the end of Hebrews chapter 10 and then part of 11. I won't preach tonight on what does it mean to live by faith or living by faith. We talk about it a lot. We probably sing about it more than we talk about it. You know, we all like the Lester Roloff song or the song that at least I think of him singing, you know, living by faith. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. My Lord, I know, ruleth o'er everything, and all my worry is vain. I'm living by faith in Jesus alone, in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. And so I'm living by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Chapter 11, we'll just continue reading right along. It talks about living by faith. Now faith is, and he goes on then in chapter 11 to give us a definition of faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. And then Hebrews chapter 11, as much as anything, records a lot of decisions that people in the Old Testament made by faith. Chapter 11 and verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God, offered this sacrifice. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God, things not seen, made decisions. By faith in verse 8, Abraham, when he was called to go out, end of the verse, went out. Seemed like that would make sense. If God tells you to do something, you ought to just do it. But how did Abraham do that? By faith. When he was called to go out, he went out. By faith, he sojourned, verse 9, and on and on. It goes in through Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith. Living by faith, of course, that phrase is in the Bible four times. There in Hebrews 10:38. Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by his faith. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Father, pray that you would bless the time that we have together tonight. Lead and guide. Guide my mind, Holy Spirit. Help me to be clear and to be sharp, to be understandable. Thank you for these people, this great church, Brother Ross, the others that lead and work in it, the lay people, the character in this room. Pray that you'd bless them. Help us, Father, to live for you, to live by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, if you would. The just shall live by faith. Now, part of what, and I had a marker here in Hebrews so I could find it again, because I'm going to go back there from time to time, and I took it out and set it aside. But anyhow, the just shall live by faith. Part of that, of course, means that we get saved by faith, right? By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2 there, the just shall live by faith. You and I are going to live eternally by faith, presuming that you have been saved, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and probably on a Sunday night, here in the summer, everybody or nearly everybody in the room tonight has trusted Christ as your Savior at some point in your life. And so, you know, if you died tonight, you'd be on your way to heaven. Praise God, I know that. I got assurance of that a little over 40 years ago, and I know I'm going to heaven. And the reason I know I'm going to heaven is it's because it's by grace through faith. Verse in Romans that I like, 10:11, there it says, therefore it is by grace that it might be by faith, to the end that the promise might be sure. And the only way you could ever know for sure is if it's by grace through faith. If it's by works, you'd never know for sure. Because you'd never know if you'd done enough. You never know what you'd keep doing. You know, you might could say, well, I've done enough as of now. If I die, I'm going to heaven. But what about next week or next month or next year? If I met, you know, would it be too much? Or would my bad outweigh, you know? The only way you could ever know for sure is if it's by grace through faith, and praise God it is. And so I don't get to say I'm not going to heaven because I've been baptized. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm not going to heaven because I've been faithful to my wife for 41 years. I'm going to heaven by grace through faith. Amen. And that's it. Amen. And, you know, the just shall live by faith. Certainly, you ought to trust, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, you ought to do that tonight. You ought to settle it and get an assurance that you're on your way to heaven. You know, it's just a horrible thing to live with wondering. One of the girls testified tonight. You know, I got saved when I made a profession when I was four. I think that was Beth, right? Four? And but I had doubts. And I don't know, maybe got saved. But then at 13, I settled it. I said, you know, I'm going to nail this thing down and get it done with. Because I don't want to keep wondering. And if that's your situation tonight, you ought to get it settled. You ought to settle it and come forward. We'll have an invitation and clear it up. But anyhow, the just shall live by faith. Part of that certainly includes the fact, and that's emphasized probably especially in Galatians 3 there, that we get saved by grace through faith. I'm going to heaven. Now, beyond that, what does it mean? You know, on the other hand, the just shall live by faith. Partly that's saying the justified, those who are justified, that's me and you, I'm justified in Christ, that we're supposed to live by faith. Okay? Somewhat, I think that's almost a command. The just are supposed to or shall live by faith. That's the way you and I are supposed to live. Now, you say, well, what does that mean to live by faith? I've been involved in college work 40 years, been quite a while, but I have through the years, sometimes I'll have a college student that I'll call in and say, you know, Bill, or I don't remember the names, you're getting behind on your school bill here, what's going on? And, you know, he'll say, well, I've had him say, well, Brother Jorgensen, a while back, God led me to quit my job. And so I quit my job. I don't have any steady income now. I just decided I was going to live by faith. And I say to him, that's not living by faith, that's being stupid. That's not, you know, and somehow we have the idea that, you know, or somebody says, well, you know, they needed money for missions, and all I had in my checking account was $600 or $800. My rent was $600, and I needed the money to pay my rent, but I decided to, by faith, to give the $800 and just by faith believe God was going to... No, again, that's not living by faith. That's not God's intention. You know, you ought to pray for the extra $600 or $800 before you give it instead of after it. In a situation like that. And you know, but anyhow, living by faith is not being stupid. It's not, you know, I find at times in my life, you know, I have prayed for money. I've prayed for financial needs that I had. And situations where maybe I was in between, I think one time especially, a long time ago, in between places of employment, and I was praying that God would send me a month's income because, you know, we were leaving a church there, and we were on our way to Hammond, and didn't have hardly any savings or anything. I needed a month's income. And people gave us, in that month, a month's income, just given. And God did that. And once I started getting checks again, the giving stopped. It just, I mean, say, how'd that work out? God did it. I was following his lead, and I was doing what he wanted me to. But I find most of the time when I pray for money, God sends me work. Seems to be that's the way it happens in my life. I've had times when I prayed and said, God, you know, it really helped me. If I could get another $50, $100 a month in, it would help me to pay the bills and be on top of it. And again, I mean, you know, our needs are met now. We're cared for adequately and get along okay. But through the years, I recall praying like that. And somebody come in and say, here's some more work. We'll give you some more money. And just most of the time when I pray for money, God sends me work. It seems like that's how things go. And so living by faith doesn't mean, you know, God's not urging you to quit your job or give away all your assets and say, well, you know, now I'm just going to, you know, that's not a Bible plan. But what does it mean then to live? We're supposed to live by faith. What does it mean? I think that as I read my Bible, as I look through Hebrews and so on, it means basically I'm supposed to live my life with by faith in God. I'm supposed to believe that there really is a God, that God is real, that heaven is real. I mean, okay, if there really is a God, or since there really is a God, then he's in charge. And when Beth's mom got cancer last year, he knew it. I'm supposed to trust him. And when your mom or your nephew or some, you know, we had the prayer request, and we prayed some for the little fella down in South Carolina, and we prayed some for that at the college. You say, why? You know, you're supposed to have faith in God. You're supposed to trust him when circumstances like that come. I'm supposed to trust him when circumstances come like that in my life. There is a God. And you know what? Heaven's real. By faith, I'm supposed to believe that. And there's a whole lot of things in life worse than going to heaven. Matter of fact, heaven's always a step up, according to Dr. Rice, according to the Bible. I like the statement Dr. John Rice makes in his book on heaven. Heaven's always a step up. We look sometimes, you know, we look at heaven, like we talk about heaven and the glories there and our anticipation of it. And then when one of us gets sick or a loved one departs to go there, we act like it was all a fake. And our lives and so on undermine our testimony. We kind of almost look at heaven like it's a glorified old folks' home that maybe, when I've lived out and sucked about all of this life has to give, and my health is gone and my mind's not working right, or my mother's or my grandmother's in that situation, that I guess maybe then heaven would be okay, and it might be better than the nursing home, and I guess that would be a blessing. But heaven is always a step up. Dr. Rice says there's no one who goes in the strength of his youth who would, if he could, return to live out days and dreams unfulfilled down here. I mean, heaven's always an improvement. By faith, do we believe that or not? Now, we miss them when they go. This is the first time I've referenced Beth's situation in a sermon. I asked her after she gave her testimony a couple times, is that hard on you? You don't need to include that in it. She said, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I said, well, you can always decline or switch it. You do whatever. We miss them. Miss them a ton. I think from time to time, boy, I'd like to sit down with my dad and mom and talk with them. Like, go, because, I mean, there's somebody that, I mean, they're always there for you. They're both in heaven. I don't see them again. They're better off. They went in old age, relatively, 72 and 91. 91's pretty old for sure. 72's getting younger and younger. You gals think it's really ancient. I had one of the girls tell us, you know, back when I was younger, I didn't used to like flowers, but now that I'm old, I really enjoy flowers. I thought, well, that's wonderful. She doesn't like it when I give her a hard time about that. But anyhow, by faith, I have to trust God for the circumstances he puts in my life. You know, and if heaven's real, it really changes things a whole lot. Yeah, I mean, you think about it, and this doesn't necessarily fit in here, but most of the heartache that most of our prayer requests and most of our heartache that we deal with in life, and the difficulties, the disappointments, the things that make you cry to sleep, and either have to do with somebody that we love getting ill and or going to heaven, which isn't, I mean, I cry over that too, but it isn't all bad. The other side of it is people that when I or somebody I love dearly goes out and does something that I know is wrong and against the Word of God. And when I or somebody I love dearly goes out and does something that I know is against the Word of God, that always brings horrible heartache. Now, that being the case, why wouldn't we live by this book and avoid half those heartaches? Why would we want to say, well, yeah, I think I'll try something else? Or why, when somebody does that and we have a heartache, why in the world would we say, okay, I'm going to leave the Bible now and go do something else, or go do my own thing, or go out in the world because I'm heartbroken because somebody else messed up their life. No, if somebody else messes up their life, that should give me an incentive to want to live for God more. I don't want to mess up my life because somebody else messed up theirs. And I don't know that that fits in this sermon necessarily. I guess I'm just rambling here. But he said, I normally preach about 30 minutes, and I got up with 35 to go. So I just tossed in 5 extra there for free. But I'm supposed to trust God for the circumstances in my life. I'm supposed to believe heaven is real. Again, I need to make decisions by faith as I go through life. Turn back into Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 23. And Hebrews 11, 23 here says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Hey, Moses refused some things based on his faith. There's some things you and I ought to refuse. You know, somebody says, hey, we're all stopping by the bar. We're going to stop by and pick up a couple of beers and have a few beers after work on the way home. Now, they don't say that to me at work, but they may say that to you at work. But we're going to pick up a few beers on the way home. By faith, we're supposed to say, no, I refuse to do that. So why do you refuse to do that? I think I sipped a little bit of beer from an uncle when I was 4 or 5 or something once. Other than that, I've never tasted it. But I suppose it tastes good. A lot of people drink it. I suppose a cold beer on a hot day would be refreshing. I mean, a lot of people do it. But by faith, I'm supposed to refuse to do that because it's wrong according to this book. And when I say, no, I can't do that, I'm not going there, I won't be there for that, I'm living by faith. I've made a decision according to faith that this is God's word and that God knows what's best and that I want to please him and I'm living for him. I'm living to have his power on my life. I'm living so he can use me. By faith, I'm refusing to go along with that. By faith, I mean, it's not mysterious. It's not something that just some missionary on a foreign field with no support does. Or somebody says, well, I'm going to go start a church. I don't have any money. I don't have any finance. I don't have any backing. I'm just going to go by faith. And sometimes, you know, there's a time to step out. And, you know, we got in between ministries with no salary for a month. There's a time when it may include that. But that's not the emphasis of God's word when he talks about the just shall live by faith. He's saying you ought to refuse to do some things by faith. That's what Moses did. By faith, and look back here in Hebrews chapter 11 again, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Say why? Because verse 25, choosing, he made a choice by faith. We have choices to make all the time. Are we going to make our choices by faith? Or are we going to make them by sight? Now, all of us decided to come to church tonight. I'm sure you're here. In most cases, other than some of the kids that didn't have any choice, you're going. The rest of you had a choice to make. Am I going to go to church tonight or stay home? And maybe say, well, I always go. It's just habit. Okay, but you've established that. We all decided to come to church tonight. We could have stayed home and sat in the recliner and dozed. Could have stayed home and watched some kind of sporting event. Could have stayed home and, you know, I don't know, whatever. Cut the grass. Didn't have to come out here tonight. Why are you here? You chose to be here. Why'd you come? Because by faith, you have faith in this book. You have faith in God. You said, look, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to church. I need church in my life. I need the preaching. I need the instruction. And by faith, you came here tonight and said, well, it didn't really require. No, I mean, you made the decision based on looking at eternal values and eternal rewards instead of thinking about how you'd feel after another hour's nap. Am I making, do you follow what I'm saying? And I think that is living by faith. Moses made decisions. He chose some things by faith. You chose come church tonight by faith. There's a vacation Bible school this week. The preachers and others have said to you, we need helpers. Would you come and work? And you said, I don't know. It's going to be tiring five nights. And normally one is hard enough on Wednesday, and this is going to be five. And now Wednesday, I don't have to get there till seven, probably. For Bible school, it's six. What time is it normally? 7 o'clock usually. But now I got to be there at 6 or 5:40. He just moved it up to. If I'm really going to be good. And I understand. I mean, please, for his sake, be here at 5:40. We have to see Sunday school there at the college that I oversee. My wife and I oversee. You know, it's kind of disconcerting when the buses pull in and there's no workers there. But 5 nights, that's going to be hard. Sure, it'll be hard. You have a choice to make. You make the decision by faith. Yeah, but this is, I'm teaching God's eternal word to never dying souls. God's giving me an opportunity to help change lives or to fix the snow cones so that somebody else can teach God's eternal word to never dying souls and help keep discipline or fix the cookies or whatever. And I'm by faith, I'm going to invest my time that way this week instead of by staying home and watching the NBA final or whatever they are, conference finals this week. You got a decision. You got to make choices. If you invest your time and your money, your life into spiritual things, you're living by faith. If you invest your time, your money, your efforts, your life into things you can see, you're not living by faith. Again, I'm not saying quit your job. You need an income. You ought to have a budget. You want to do those things. But Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Certainly there is pleasure in sin. Again, I've never drank a beer, but I guess it's probably pleasurable. A lot of people do it. A lot of sin is pleasurable. Problem is, it's short-lived pleasure. That brings you heartache and misery after it's over. At the end, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder, or the other way around. But anyhow, it messes you up when it's over. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming, and you say, well, I guess Moses did that because he figured, well, even though it's not as much fun, I ought to do it for God, and I'm going to do it for God even though I won't be as well off. No, in verse 26 it says, Moses esteeming the reproach, or he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect, there a couple more things, by faith he esteemed, by faith he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Hey, Moses said, I'm turning my back on Egypt. Can I get out of one of these? I'm turning my back on Egypt. I'm going to go out here and suffer affliction with the people of God. Not just because I want to be a martyr or because I feel like I owe it and it's hard, but somebody's got to do it. Moses said, you know what? Serving God just pays better than being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, that's what that verse says. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. Serving God just pays better. You say, oh, you mean you make more money? No, I'm not talking about what you put in your wallet. I'm talking about something that's never going to vanish. So, but how do I know I'm going to get that? By faith. And when you decide, those of you, scores of you, that'll decide to come out here for vacation Bible school and get here at 5:40 tomorrow night, or those of you that leave earlier to go pick the kids up on the bus and bring them in, instead of sitting home, you say, by faith, this pays better than the overtime I would have gotten if I'd have stayed. Now, I can't put it in my wallet, but it's going someplace where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. And, I mean, hey, it's going someplace that's real. I'm going to have that. And the market may go up and down, and unemployment may do this or that, or who knows what's going to happen in Europe and the euro and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, what about your Roth and your IRA and all that kind of stuff? I don't know what's going to happen to all that. I'm talking about living by faith. But anyhow, I don't know what's going to happen to all that. But I do know what's going to happen to the rewards I get serving God. They're going to be there. I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." I want to have a crown to cast at his feet when everybody else is. I want to be standing there while Brother Ross and bus captains and drivers and Sunday school teachers and deacons and casting crowns at Jesus' feet, and me saying, "Well, you know, my yard looked real nice. I caught a lot of fish. There's nothing wrong with my yard looks pretty nice. I don't catch any fish." I mean, I asked Brother Fugit, wanted me to go with him. I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, you know, you'll learn to enjoy fishing." I said, "Brother Fugit, haven't you heard me say I never catch anything? I don't mean I catch very few. I mean I never catch anything. Been half a dozen times, been with people who are great fishermen. I never catch anything." And he said, "Oh, come with me, come with me. You know, I got this spot, and we'll." And to be honest, he did get me out, and I caught two crappie that were, no, they were, I don't know, something like that. I mean, he said they were good enough I could have had them mounted. And I thought, well, that'd be pretty interesting. You know, I'd be a Kentucky guy here. And then he told me how much getting them mounted would cost, and I decided that wasn't a good investment. But anyhow, you and I have to make choices in our life. Are we going to live for eternity? Or are you going to live for what you can put in your wallet? You're going to live for a mansion in glory or a bigger house here? And I'm not against you having money. If God sends it in, I'm not against you having a nice house or nice cars or nice anything. But the focus in our life isn't supposed to be our bank account or our IRA or our house or a car. It's supposed to be serving God. So, well, how would you do that? By faith. I'm supposed to live by faith. By faith, I believe that this is God's book. Taught a first grade boys Sunday school class for 17 years. While I was teaching college kids on the other days, and the first grade boys were a nice relief. I mean, it was just different. But I'd tell them, "Boys, this is God's book. It's the only book God ever wrote. Every word in it's true. Live your life by it." If I'm going to live my life by this book, I'm living by faith. I ought to set my standards by it. I ought to make decisions about my life and my home. Look, am I going to invest my life? I mean, is there really a heaven? Bible says there is. I mean, if it's real, and I mean it is, by faith I believe that it is, then we ought to live for it. We ought to live for something eternal rather than something you can see. That which is seen is temporal, that which is not seen is eternal, Corinthians tells us. I want to live for the things I can't see. I want to live for souls. I want to live to get people out of hell. I want to live to help people. I want to live for something that matters in life. Let God give me pleasures along the way, and he does. God, you know, I mean, my life is rich and full. But when it comes to making decisions about your time or your money, I want to obey God, not society. I want to do what God tells me to do in my life. I get up in the morning. Am I going to read this Bible or turn on ESPN? Well, by faith, I ought to spend some time in this book. And when I do, I'm living by faith that, yep, this is God's book. Again, I think living by faith is not something that's just for a few. I mean, it's for all of us. The just are supposed to, shall live by faith. It's what we're supposed to do. I'm supposed to make decisions in my life according to the faith, looking at faith values rather than looking at what the world looks at. I'll look at eternity. With eternity's values in view, Lord, with eternity's values in view, we sing a little chorus around a campfire. May I live each day unto Jesus with eternity's values in view. One day we'll be there. One day I'll stand beside my dad and mom. One day we'll be able to look. Heaven's praise will be singing to the dearest friend I ever had. Mom and dad will be singing. Heaven's praise will be ringing for the dearest friend I ever had. I'm looking forward to that day by faith. I'll live for that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if God's spoken to somebody's heart tonight about living by faith. Maybe decisions you're making in life about your time, your money, your life. Maybe some things you're not refusing to do that you ought to be refusing to do. Maybe, I don't know, if God's spoken to you about something tonight in the course of the message where you feel like, I need to do more of this. Maybe you need to do more or do less of something. I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? God's spoken to my heart tonight about something in conjunction with a message where I ought to do more or refuse to do some things. Anybody else? I'll live by faith. I wonder, before we pray, if there's anybody here tonight, you can put your hands down if you had them up. If there's anybody here tonight who would say, Brother Jorgensen, I'm not sure I am going to heaven. You talked about that at the beginning. And that's, I don't know if I'm going or not. I'd like to know, but I'm not sure I would. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Anybody like that? Okay. Father, I pray for these who raise their hand saying God's spoken to their heart about something in conjunction with living by faith. God, help all of us to do it. We get strong in faith at times. We get weak in faith at times. Help us to keep our decisions that we make when we're strong in faith to live for you, to serve you.